Welcome to NeuroSavvy. Today, we're zeroing in on a connection that's really getting a lot of attention lately. It's this powerful link between what you eat, what's on your plate, and your overall health. Specifically, we're exploring some recent insights into how diet might actually influence the risk of developing something complex like multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, it's a really important shift in thinking, isn't it? For a long time, you know, the talk around diet and conditions like MS was mostly about managing symptoms after someone was diagnosed.
Right, symptom management.
But this idea that our eating patterns could play a role in the initial risk, well, that's pretty empowering information for people.
Absolutely. And that's really our goal here today, to, you know, cut through some of the noise and get to the heart of what's important from recent research. We're going to take a close look at a specific study that investigated two main questions. First, could eating foods known to kind of dampen inflammation actually lower MS risk? And second, is just having a more varied diet protective in itself?
Exactly. And this wasn't just theoretical. It was based on, you know, real data looking at how people actually ate and whether they ended up with an MS diagnosis.
Okay, so let's dig into the nuts and bolts of this particular study. How was it actually set up? How did the researchers try to answer these big questions?
Right. So they use a design called a hospital-based case control study. You can sort of picture it like gathering two groups of people around the same time and then comparing things about their past, in this case, their diet.
Okay. So not tracking people for years, but comparing those who recently got diagnosed with MS to a similar group who are healthy.
Precisely. They recruited 197 individuals who were newly diagnosed with MS. And then, very carefully, they selected a comparison group, 200 healthy participants. The really key part was matching.
Matching? How so?
They matched the healthy group to the MS group as closely as possible on age and sex.
Ah, that's critical, right? Because you don't want to find a difference just because, say, one group is older, or because MS is more common in women.
Exactly right. By matching like that, they could be more confident that any differences they saw in diet weren't just, you know, side effects of those demographics. The average age in both groups was pretty similar, around 32 and a half. And mirroring what we know about MS, about 79% of the participants were female.
Okay, so they had their two matched groups. But how do you get an accurate picture of what people eat? It's so variable day to day, isn't it?
That's always the big challenge in nutrition research, definitely. They used validated questionnaires. These are standard tools designed to estimate long-term dietary habits pretty reliably. A really important one was a very detailed 160-item food frequency questionnaire.
160 items, wow. So people report how often they ate specific foods over a period of time.
Yes, exactly. And they didn't just look at diet. They also collected information on other things that could play a role, like smoking history, body measurements like BMI, waist circumference, things like that.
So the idea was to understand their typical eating patterns, not just a single day's meals.
That's the goal, to see if there were clear differences in the way the newly diagnosed MS patients typically ate compared to the healthy controls. And specifically, they were focusing on patterns related to inflammation and dietary variety.
And you mentioned up front, they had two specific hypotheses they were testing.
That's right. Hypothesis one, eating more anti-inflammatory foods is linked to a lower risk of MS. And hypothesis two, simply having a more diverse diet, eating a wider range of foods, is also linked to a lower risk.
That second one's interesting. It suggests it's not just about specific superfoods, maybe, but the overall breadth of what you eat.
It does, yeah. And to actually measure these complex patterns, the researchers didn't just count calories or servings. They used specific calculated scores or indices.
Okay, tell us about the first one, the Dietary Anti-Inflammatory Index, or DAI. How does that work?
Right, the DAI. It's a pretty neat tool because it doesn't just label foods good or bad. It actually assigns a score based on the known inflammatory potential of different foods and nutrients based on existing scientific evidence.
So foods known to reduce inflammation give you points, basically. Boost your score.
Exactly. The more you eat foods with anti-inflammatory properties, the higher your DAI score. We're talking things like, you know, lots of different vegetables, fruits, legumes, beans, lentils, whole grains, nuts, seeds, fatty fish, olive oil. These foods are packed with compounds, antioxidants, healthy fats, fiber that actually work in the body to sort of calm down inflammatory processes.
And I'm guessing foods that tend to promote inflammation would drag the score down.
Correct. The index essentially subtracts points for foods considered pro-inflammatory. Think refined grains, red and processed meats, sugary drinks and foods, fried stuff, trans fats. These can contribute to that low-grade chronic inflammation simmering in the body. So yeah, a higher DAI score means your overall eating pattern leans towards fighting inflammation.
Got it. So it captures the sort of net effect of your whole diet on inflammation. What about the second score, the dietary diversity score, the DDS?
The DDS is conceptually a bit simpler, like you said. It's really designed to measure how varied someone's diet is across different food groups.
Okay, which food groups did they look at for this score?
They focused on five main ones: cereals or grains, vegetables, fruits, meat or eggs, and dairy. But importantly, they didn't just give you a point if you ate, say, any vegetable.
Oh, it was more detailed than that.
Yeah, to really capture diversity within categories, they gave points based on the number of subgroups people ate from. So, for example, under vegetables, eating leafy greens and root vegetables, and maybe some cruciferous ones like broccoli, would score higher than just eating, say, carrots every day.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. It encourages variety even within the healthy groups.
Exactly. So a higher DDS suggests you're likely getting a broader range of different vitamins, minerals, fiber types, and all those beneficial plant compounds, phytochemicals. It's often seen as a marker for better nutrient coverage and maybe promoting a healthier gut microbiome too.
Okay, so the setup is clear. Compare the MS patients to the healthy controls, and analyze their diets using these two scores, DAI for inflammation, DDS for diversity. What did they actually find? Let's start with the anti-inflammatory score, the DAI. What was the main result there?
This was really one of the standout findings. They found a strong, statistically significant link. Eating more anti-inflammatory foods, so having a higher DAI score, was associated with a substantially lower risk of being diagnosed with MS.
How substantial are we talking? Can you give us the numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. When they compared the people eating the most anti-inflammatory diets, that's the top third based on DAI scores, to those eating the least anti-inflammatory diets, the bottom third. Well, the difference was pretty dramatic. Those in the top group had 56% lower odds of having an MS diagnosis.
Wow, 56% lower odds. That's,
yeah,
that's huge. So it wasn't just a tiny bit better. It was linked to more than cutting the odds in half in this comparison.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it in plain terms. Yes. The technical detail was an odds ratio, or OR, of 0.44. An OR less than 1 suggests lower odds for the group you're looking at, in this case, the high DAI group. And importantly, the 95% confidence interval, which gives a range of plausible values, was 0.26 to 0.72.
And that whole range is below 1.
Yeah, which strengthens the confidence in the finding. It suggests the true effect is likely somewhere in that range, all pointing towards reduced odds.
And was it statistically significant? Did it likely happen by chance?
Highly unlikely it was just chance. The p-value was 0.001. Usually researchers consider less than 0.05 significant. A p-value of 0.001 means there's roughly a 1 in 1,000 probability that the strong association is purely due to random luck. It's a very strong signal.
Okay, so the statistics are really pointing towards this link. It strongly supports the idea that maybe dietary choices that actively fight inflammation could be protective against developing MS GOST.
It absolutely does, and it fits with what we understand about MS, you know, being an autoimmune condition where inflammation plays a key role in that immune attack on the nervous system. Chronic inflammation could sort of prime the immune system, make it more likely to go awry. So dietary factors that reduce that inflammation might help, well, dampen that priming effect.
Fascinating. Okay, so that covers the anti-inflammatory index. What about the other hypothesis? Did dietary diversity, the DDS score, also show a link?
Yes, it did. The findings for the dietary diversity score were also significant and pointed in the same protective direction. Greater dietary diversity was also linked to a reduced risk of MS.
Okay, and how strong was that link? Was it similar to the DAI finding?
It was also quite substantial. People in the highest third for dietary diversity scores had a 50% reduced odds of having an MS diagnosis compared to those in the lowest diversity group.
50% lower odds just from eating a wider variety of foods. That's also really striking.
It is, yeah. The specific stats there were an OR of 0.50, a 95% confidence interval of 0.31 to 0.80 again, entirely below 1, and a p-value of 0.004. So statistically significant as well.
Okay, so why might just eating a wider variety, even if not every single food is an anti-inflammatory champion, be beneficial?
Well, think of a diverse diet as like nutritional insurance. It just makes it much more likely that you're covering all your bases, getting a wider spectrum of essential vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, different types of fiber. All these micronutrients are vital for things like proper immune cell function, nerve health, even maintaining the integrity of that crucial blood-brain barrier.
And you mentioned the gut microbiome earlier.
Yeah.
Does diversity in diet impact that too?
Oh, absolutely. A diverse diet, especially one rich in different kinds of fiber from various plants, is basically the best way to feed and support a diverse and healthy community of gut microbes. And these gut bacteria, they aren't just sitting there. They produce compounds like short-chain fatty acids that can influence your immune system, reduce inflammation systemically, and even communicate with your brain. A diverse gut ecosystem is thought to help train the immune system to be more balanced and less reactive, which could be really relevant for autoimmunity.
So, two clear findings here. Eat anti-inflammatory foods and eat a variety of food seem to be linked to lower MS risk in this study. Did the researchers look at other things that might muddy the waters, like someone's weight or overall calorie intake?
Yes, they did, and this is important for interpreting the results. They performed analyses that statistically controlled for several key potential confounders. They adjusted their results for age, sex, even though they matched on these. Statistical adjustment adds another layer, total calorie intake, and body mass index, or BMI.
Why is controlling for calories and BMI so important here?
Because you want to try and isolate the effect of the quality and the pattern of the diet itself. You don't want the results to be simply because, say, one group ate way more calories, or because weight differences were the real underlying factor. Adjusting for BMI helps tease apart the diet's effect from the effect of body weight itself.
Okay, and what happened when they made those adjustments? Did the associations weaken or disappear?
No, and this is a really key point that strengthens the findings. Even after accounting for age, sex, total energy intake, and BMI, both the link between higher DAI and lower MS risk, and the link between higher DDS and lower MS risk remains statistically significant.
That really bolsters the idea that the type of food and the variety seem to be important in their own right, not just a side effect of how much people eat or their weight.
Exactly. It suggests there's something specific about the dietary composition and breadth that's associated with the risk outcome here.
The study didn't just rely on the scores, right?
Right.
Didn't they also directly compare what the MS patients and controls reported eating?
Yes, they did. And that provided another layer of evidence consistent with the score findings. When they looked at the average consumption of different food groups, the individuals who had been newly diagnosed with MS tended to report dietary patterns that were overall more pro-inflammatory compared to the healthy controls.
So they were generally eating fewer of those anti-inflammatory foods.
Precisely. The group with MS reported consuming significantly fewer servings of key foods that boost the DAI score. This included less fruit, fewer vegetables overall, fewer whole grains, less fish, and fewer legumes compared to the healthy control group.
Which makes sense then that they would also have lower average DAI and DDS scores overall, right? Kind of confirms the link from a different angle.
Yes, exactly right. It paints a very consistent picture across the different analyses. The reported dietary habits of the MS group aligned with the idea that diets lower in anti-inflammatory potential and diversity are associated with the condition. Now, again, association isn't causation, but it definitely fits the hypothesis that diet might be involved in the underlying processes.
We touched on potential reasons why diet might matter earlier. Can we unpack that a bit more? How might an anti-inflammatory diverse diet actually influence something as complex as MS risk biologically? What's the thinking?
Yeah, this is where we connect the dietary findings to the underlying biology of MS, which is still being actively researched, of course. One major idea revolves around systemic inflammation. If you have this kind of chronic low-level inflammation simmering throughout your body, maybe partly driven by diet, it could create an environment where the immune system is constantly on edge, hyperalert.
And that hyperalert state makes it more likely to make a mistake, like attacking the body's own tissues.
That's the theory. It might lower the threshold for the immune system to break tolerance and wrongly identify components of the central nervous system, like the myelin sheath, as foreign invaders. Anti-inflammatory foods contain compounds like those omega-3s from fish, polyphenols from berries and olive oil, fiber that can directly interfere with inflammatory pathways. They can actually dial down the production of those pro-inflammatory signals, like cytokines, IL-6, and TNF-alpha. So eating these foods consistently might help just generally lower that systemic inflammatory temperature.
And what about the gut connection you mentioned? How does the microbiome fit into this?
The gut microbiome is increasingly seen as a major player in immune regulation. Think of it as a vast community interacting directly with a large portion of our immune system located in the gut lining. A diverse diet, especially rich in different fibers, feeds a diverse range of beneficial gut bacteria. These good bugs produce helpful compounds, like short-chain fatty acids. Butyrate is a key one. These SCFAs have anti-inflammatory effects not just locally in the gut, but throughout the body. They can influence immune cell development and function, potentially promoting tolerance.
So, a healthy gut environment supported by diet could help keep the immune system balanced.
That's a key part of the thinking, yes. Conversely, diets low in fiber and high in processed ingredients might favor less beneficial bacteria, potentially leading to a leaky gut, where inflammatory molecules or bacterial components might pass into the bloodstream more easily, further provoking the immune system. These dietary patterns might also help maintain the integrity of the blood-brain barrier, making it harder for inflammatory cells or molecules to cross into the brain and spinal cord. It's all interconnected: diet, gut, inflammation, immune function.
Okay, let's bring this back to the listener. Why should you care about this study? What's a real-world implication here?
Well, I think this kind of research is really significant because it adds to a growing body of evidence suggesting that diet isn't just something passive or only relevant after a diagnosis. It suggests that the choices you make about food could be one of the modifiable factors that actually influences your fundamental risk for developing conditions like MS.
And inflammation is such a core part of MS development.
Exactly. So the idea is that by adopting eating patterns that proactively help reduce systemic inflammation, support nutrient sufficiency through diversity, and foster a healthy gut environment, you might be helping to keep your immune system operating in a more balanced, less reactive state. It's about using food as a tool to support your body's own regulatory systems.
Okay, let's get really practical then. Based on this study, what does this kind of beneficial diet actually look like on a day-to-day basis? What foods should people be focusing on if they want to increase their DAI and DDS?
Think vibrant and whole. Build your meals around plants. Load up on colorful vegetables, dark leafy greens like spinach, kale, also broccoli, peppers, carrots, onions, garlic. Aim for plenty of fruits, especially berries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, which are antioxidant powerhouses. Make legumes a staple: lentils, chickpeas, black beans, kidney beans. Choose whole grains instead of refined ones. Oats, brown rice, quinoa, whole wheat bread if you tolerate gluten. Snack on nuts and seeds, almonds, walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, and definitely include healthy fats from sources like extra virgin olive oil and fatty fish, salmon, mackerel. Sardines are great choices for omega-3s.
It sounds delicious, actually.
They
Very
are.
Mediterranean style in some ways.
Yeah.
What is it about these foods that makes them work together?
They're just packed with beneficial stuff. You get tons of fiber to feed your gut microbes. You get those anti-inflammatory omega-3 fats. You get a huge array of essential vitamins and minerals needed for immune cells to function properly. And you get thousands of different phytochemicals, these plant compounds, that act as antioxidants and have other protective effects, fighting cellular stress and inflammation. It's the synergy, the combination of all these things working together that likely provides the benefit.
And the diversity piece, how do you practically increase that? Does it mean trying one new vegetable or fruit each week?
That's a great way to think about it. It really just means avoiding getting stuck in a food rut. Try different types of greens, not just spinach. Explore different berries, not just strawberries. Experiment with grains beyond rice, maybe try farro or buckwheat. Use different kinds of beans in your chili or soups. This ensures you get that wider range of micronutrients and fiber types we talked about, and it generally means avoiding overly restrictive diets that might cut out entire healthy food groups unnecessarily.
This all sounds very positive, but we absolutely need to touch on the study's limitations. We can't just say this proves diet prevents MS, can we?
No, that's a really crucial point of caution. This was a case control study. It shows a strong association or link, but it cannot definitively prove cause and effect. It shows that people who had MS in the study were less likely to report eating these beneficial patterns in the past compared to the healthy controls. There's always the possibility, for example, of reverse causality, maybe very early, subtle symptoms of MS, even before diagnosis, somehow influenced people's appetite or food choices. It's less likely, but possible.
And what about other factors known to influence MS risk? Did the study account for everything?
No study can account for everything. While they did control for important ones like age, sex, calories, and BMI, MS risk is complex. This study didn't control for, say, vitamin D levels, which are strongly linked to MS risk and often related to sun exposure. It didn't control for genetic predisposition, which plays a role, or for past infections, particularly with Epstein-Barr virus, EBV, another known risk factor. Any of these could potentially be tangled up with the diet findings.
Right. And the diet information itself came from questionnaires, relying on people's memory.
Exactly. Food frequency questionnaires are standard tools, but they do rely on self-reporting. People might not perfectly remember everything they ate over the past year, or they might subconsciously report eating healthier than they actually did. That's known as recall bias.
So we need to be careful not to overstate the conclusions based solely on this one study design.
We absolutely do. Definitive proof requires different types of studies, like large, long-term prospective cohort studies or even intervention trials, though those are very hard to do for disease prevention. However, despite these limitations, the fact that the associations were strong, statistically significant, biologically plausible, linking to inflammation in the gut, and remain significant even after adjusting for major confounders like BMI, that all adds up to make this a compelling piece of the puzzle, suggesting diet really does matter for MS risk.
Okay, so as we wrap up here, what are the main takeaways you want listeners to hold on to, and maybe one practical thing they could consider doing?
I think the core message is both clear and, frankly, quite hopeful. This research strongly suggests that a diverse diet, one that's rich in whole anti-inflammatory foods, is associated with significantly lower odds of developing MS.
And it's worth stressing again, eating this way is just plain good for your overall health, right?
Absolutely. It's not some weird restrictive MS-specific diet. It's a pattern of eating that supports heart health, brain health as we age, metabolic health, and generally helps reduce inflammation throughout the body. It's really a win-win situation.
But it's not a guarantee, not a magic bullet.
Exactly. No diet can promise to prevent or cure a complex condition like MS, but focusing on your diet as one powerful tool you can control to manage inflammation and ensure you're getting a wide array of nutrients. That seems like a very sensible and proactive health strategy for just about everyone.
So what's one actionable step someone listening could take away from this discussion?
Maybe just pick one meal this week, say lunch tomorrow, and consciously try to boost its anti-inflammatory potential and diversity. Could you swap white bread for whole grain? Add a big handful of spinach or mixed greens? Toss in some chickpeas or lentils? Maybe sprinkle some seeds on top? Focus on adding the good stuff. Small, consistent changes often make the biggest difference over time.
That sounds achievable. This research really does underscore that our lifestyle choices, especially something as fundamental as food, can be influential factors in complex health journeys like MS. Choosing foods that help cool inflammation seems like a potentially powerful strategy we can employ. Of course, diet should always be personalized, maybe discussed with a doctor or dietitian, but this study certainly adds weight to the idea that it's one lever we might be able to pull to modulate risk and promote better health outcomes.
A very compelling reminder of the power we have on our plates.
Feed your mind, challenge your thinking, and we'll reconnect next time on NeuroSavvy.